The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Peace, family. It's 19 Keys with the 19 Keys podcast. You're listening to a high-level conversation. Tap in. All right, a word from one of our sponsors. Make sure you tap into Goldwater Products. After you come listen to the information, you're going to need your memory stimulated so you can download everything in that prefrontal cortex. You want to make sure that hippocampus area of your brain that regulates mood, memory, and learning is fully functional and tapped in. Therefore, you want to tap into Goldwater. They have smart moss, sports moss, vitamin C moss, colloidal silver. They have just about everything that you, your child, and your whole entire family needs to stimulate your brain and your body and to make sure that your immune system is functioning. Before you tap into this great high-level conversation, listen to this song by Tezu Kulando called Goldwater. Peace, family. It's 19 Keys. That's 19 Keys, a high-level conversations. Listen, this is a bittersweet episode with me and my good brother Steve. I always love hearing from my brother Steve. And if you're familiar with the platform and listening to the podcast on earlier episodes, you know we did a few podcasts together. Right now, of course, what's happening all around the country and the world, we're all on quarantine facing COVID-19. And those who are getting particularly harder are those who are faced with extraneous situations, especially those who are confined and incarcerated. And my brother happens to be one of those people. This was about a week ago, maybe about a week or two ago, where we had this conversation when the coronavirus had just hit as far as the quarantine measurements have been taken and restrictions in place. I haven't had the opportunity to talk with him since. I'm waiting on a phone call. But I know since then, a lot of prisoners and people in jail have voiced their concerns about the situation. People are dying. They don't have the proper cleaning or medical supplies or medical attention. And even though I believe they said that there's a CARE Act, they're not letting everybody out based upon the rules that they have set in place. And it's hard to get in contact with a lot of people. So if you have loved ones, I would say please check on your loved ones. Please tap in with your loved ones. Write them letters. Figure out what you can do to help them during these circumstances. Remember that everybody that is in jail, they're not guilty. A lot of them are waiting for a particular trial. And even those who are locked up, some of them did it based on survival. Some of them did it based off of they had to eat. You know, circumstances sometimes present us to do things based on our survival and increasing our chances of survival. I was one that was locked up before. I had several cases. Luckily, I had the opportunity to go to trial, beat my cases, and I have a clean record. But I can understand what it's like to be in the street and having to supply for your means. And these are human beings that are locked up in these cages for these private prison industries. And they are making profit off human bodies. You understand me? So we just make sure that we remain humane and continue to think about those who don't have the same freedoms that we have, even to be locked up in our own home. Peace, family.
St. Louis County Jail. To accept this call, press or say 5. To refuse this call, hang up now. To block this call will be recorded and subject to monitoring at any time. Thank you for using IC Solutions. You may begin speaking now.
Bro.
Yo, hello.
Man, hello. What's going on? Hold on. Yeah, you there?
Damn coronavirus.
Shit, I know that.
Everything stops, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
What's going on with me, man? That's
doing
a loop of my
plan,
shit.
Shit, what's happening? How is it affecting inside?
Inside, yeah, so
they're trying to keep me out.
They
can
stop
incoming
visits and all that type of stuff.
But
other than that, I got us cleaning up about a whole lot, like 6 times a day.
Okay. That makes sense. How you been, though,
bruh? You know, they're making all like, man, I've been cool, man. You know, me messing.
Yeah.
You know, I keep my serotonin levels and up, my dopamine levels up.
Yeah, yes, sir. Nah, you know what, man? I was missing your phone call because I had to. I didn't even realize this. I had put my phone. I had it where if I didn't know your number, it automatically silenced the call when it came in because I had some stalkers that was calling me from different block numbers, and I didn't want that shit to constantly be ringing. So I went ahead and put it on silence. But I realized it was doing that to the jail. And that's when I had to take it off. So I couldn't answer because I wasn't even saying it. You said what?
I doubt you started your laugh or something.
Nah, I don't think none of the times you called I was. I think the last time, I just went and canceled my last cards. So it told me that I needed to put one in there, and I ain't even got one to use right now. So I was happy when I heard that it was free because I wouldn't have been able to put a card in.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah,
it's a free card. Anytime I
call
you, it's
going to
be a free card.
No, last time they told me to put in a debit card. So that's why I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
So, shit, I ain't even got one to use. Yeah, man, you know, man, the world is in a crisis right now. We got a biological terrorist. You talk about this little coronavirus that's hitting everybody. The world is in a recession right now, economic downturn, you know what I mean? The whole stock market done plummeted, so we back into a recession, and then it might hit depression levels, and they might start committing martial law to everybody. So, you know, it's the same thing happens. It's kind of like everybody is in jail. Yeah, I mean, California is doing a national shutdown right now. So we basically... Yeah. Oh, we're in St. Louis?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know,
they say they're gonna give out fines if you ain't going to work, but like you're supposed to be, you know, they pull you over in the fine, but they're not telling people in jail unless you have a felony. Right, a felony one. See, and then what happens is they do stages, right? So first they allow you to self-quarantine.
That's basically saying, all right, you can put yourself in quarantine as long as everybody follow the rules. And then they say, okay, now we're going to enforce it. Now we say, no, this is stern. You got to stay in quarantine. All right, then people don't listen. Then they say, okay, we go use local law enforcement. Local law enforcement say, okay, now you start getting your fines and fees. If anything happens with law enforcement, then they bring in a National Guard. National Guard is martial law to where they could arrest you, lock you up without even having a real reason. And you have no more civil rights. They're suspended during martial law. So habeas corpus is suspended, which is harder. So after that, essentially, it becomes one big jail. And the RCOs is basically the National Guard in the military. And so,
yeah, man, I don't understand. I don't know, but the coronavirus, I think it's like a bigger plan on top of this. So they can catch control of everything, you know, they get everything back in control. Like how the stock market crashed and everything, because, you know, everything stopped. So I'm thinking, like, if something dealing with money, when they're going to wait, when everything back up and running, they'll have... You know what I'm saying, like GPS on there.
Well,
shit like that. I don't know.
I know my, it might be people listening, so I don't want to, you know what I mean, give you the full game on everything. But if you just look at the stock market right now, you can look at somebody like Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett just spent $1 billion to buy stocks while they're cheap, right? So right now what it allows companies to do, it allows them to take more ownership of their company when things hit a recession level. So basically, if you're rich, it allows the rich to get richer because you can go buy everything while it's cheap and you can bet against
on the stock market that it would go down, and so they get to make more and more money. Now, the only people that can do this during the recession are people that got money saved and they got money to do and play like this. So now not only are they buying their company back from poor people, or just some people that got just some extra money lying around. That's why the rich get richer, because the system is set up to where you can go in there and go buy all these stocks right now for cheap, and companies can buy back their stocks. So let's say everybody panic and they start selling their Apple shares and their Uber shares.
The rich get all the IPOs first, you know, and then on top of that, you gotta have $250,000 in your bank account and have to accumulate that much within the last 2 years. So they always get the stocks first when a company goes public. So like you said, it's designed for them.
Yeah, and then when they go back up and the stock market is good, guess what? Them shares are worth times 10 now. But, I mean, that's what I've been teaching people more so, is even how to play in the stock market, because you can bet against a stock. So let's say if as soon as this coronavirus hit, right, and you was like, oh, this is going to mess up the economy, I'm about to bet against Apple. And let's say you bet against Apple, they call that a contract, right? So a contract is basically 100 shares at a cheap price. And you get a contract, but it expires at a certain date. So those shares are sold back to whoever originally owns them. So basically, if I put that against Apple 3 months ago when everything didn't seem like it was going to go down, you would bet that it'll go down. Let's say if it's at 300 and you bet that it'll go down at 200. So if it actually hits that, then that basically says that you begin, depending on what it is, let's say you will get $20,000 or $30,000 if it hit just off one contract. Now, so let's say if you understand the economy and you say, you know what, I'm going to buy 1,000 contracts. This is how these people are getting rich during, you know what I mean, economic downturns and during recessions and depressions. And the average person only know about buying stocks. They don't know about puts.
Yeah, the good thing is everything is down right now, which means it can only go up.
Right.
Once everything back
up
and running, so you can go back everything right now.
Yeah, buy. Yeah. Especially companies that you believe in. If you believe in a company on long-term stability, then it's still good. But some companies right now, a lot of people, because businesses are shut down right now, right? So a lot of small businesses not going to be able to recover unless the government really gives them a huge stimulus, you know what I mean, to help them out to cover what they lost and to get back on track. But there's some businesses that was even probably at the brink of failing, and they gone. You said what?
I was looking at the news today. They not giving, basically the rich people gonna get the most
Benefits,
and the poor people are basically gonna get $500
or some shit. Yeah, because it all depends on how the laws are designed. So if you give a corporation money because they losing money, so a lot of people trying to make sure that the employees actually get the money. So let's say you got 500 employees and they give you $1,000 per employee. You know what I mean? That could go really to the business to get $500,000. So they're trying to make sure, like, no, let's make sure that these new laws that come in benefit the people directly and not giving it to you and then let you pay them out, because you can fluctuate that however you want to. So that's what happened during other times. So they're trying to make sure that, you know what I mean, everybody, because if the people ain't got no money, for one, they can't pay back their credit, they can't pay back their loans. And it don't matter what business is selling, they ain't got no income to buy nothing. So, you know.
Then the stores are empty, so what the hell are they going back?
Man, the stores are really messed up right now. But this coronavirus shit, man, people connecting it to 5G, people connecting it to a bunch of different things. And a lot of it don't make sense, because ain't nobody got no real answers. Even the scientists and the medical physicians, they can't tell us anything concrete for sure. So without any real answers, it keeps the people in panic mode.
And then, like in jail, everybody, you know, they come up with conspiracies in here. A few months ago, it was a lady who came in here, and she was trying to make everybody take the flu shot. But I wouldn't take it.
Mm.
So I had a lot of people with me. I mean, I'm not taking it, but it's ironic how she came at the beginning of the year, and she was trying to, it was like they were trying to force it on people to take it. And now this coronavirus virus happened all of a sudden after the flu. After that, I said, well, this is crazy.
Yeah, of course, vaccinations. That's stupid. You know what I mean? But that's so. But you got to think of it like this: if the coronavirus do hit, then they can't force. Or what they're trying to do is get power to where they can force people to take these vaccinations and then get power also to forcibly be able to illegally lock your ass up without you seeing a court, judge, or anything. So that's what people don't understand about martial law and habeas corpus. Habeas corpus basically says that if somebody takes your body away, then you have the right to have your body seen in front of a judge without them just throwing you in jail. That's your right. That's what habeas corpus is. But in martial law, it suspends that and said that, no, you ain't even got that right. Then we can do whatever you want to. The public ain't got to know shit about you, kind of like Homeland Security. But that also says that if you ain't got rights over your body, then we can forcibly vaccinate you as well. And the only way you can enter back into society and move around is if you vaccinate it. And then we can put a chip in your ass to tell the rest of the world with your medical information on there to let them know you're safe.
That's exactly what I was getting to. So if everybody can get that right, it's going to force people to go to the hospital to get checked to where they can get it. Like, everybody get the vaccine put in them because everybody got the same disease, and they just tell everybody this is the only thing that works. But really, it's like a chip that they put in everybody. That's what I think is going on and whatnot. And it's kind of, I don't trust it, though. Like, it's weird. I've never seen, like, a disease that can reach everybody this fast.
Nah, and it's just a flu. And this flu ain't even killed more people than the regular Spanish flu, but the influenza. Right. So, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I think I already had it. I think because when I was coming from St. Louis, going to Atlanta, I got sick as a dog, right? And I was coughing. It was something like I ain't never experienced before because I thought I had bronchitis. And because I was just coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing. And it laid me down for probably about 5 days. Of course, I took all the necessary remedies in order to get myself back up right. You feel me? But because I had read the symptoms, this is before it really got bad. And my symptoms lined up with everything that they say would happen with this coronavirus. So for me, I just thought like, oh shit, I got the coronavirus. I didn't know it was going to turn into a global pandemic. But somebody made sense. If there was no test before January 1st, right? January 19th is when the first patient zero hit the U.S. But if there was no test, then how did they know other people that had it didn't have it, right? So if people were catching this coronavirus, but they just didn't know because there was no way to test it. And they still don't have enough tests right now. So this has already been around.
Crazy, people are going crazy because, people had court dates coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't know how long this corona is going to last. So what they were doing was, they sending people, like with petty cases, to TV court. But people like me who got trial, we just on the back burner probably to next year, or however long it lasts. You know? And I had trial coming up this Monday. So, man, I was this close to getting out the door. I'm like, you know? And now I'm just on the back end because of the coronavirus. Like,
So it's keeping people locked up as well. Alright, so
people locked up, bro. Like people who just literally gonna come home. Like we can't even have about this. People can't even make vines because nobody's at work right now.
All right, so listen. I'm gonna record this. I want you to send a message out to the people and just explain to the people like you just explained to me about what's going on and what message you think on how the people can help just bring some light to the situation that's going on with the people that's locked up. Because ain't nobody thinking about that aspect of it. I had posted something about this lawyer was explaining a little bit about the situation, but, you know, everybody focused on themselves, so go ahead. I just wanted to know what message what do you want people to know about how the coronavirus is affecting people that's in jail or people that possibly can't get out? You know, and even if there's something that we can do to just bring some like activist attention to something.
Well, the coronavirus, the way it's affecting the jail system is everybody, here's a panic. I'm hearing that you can't have a group more than 10 people. But in jail, that's like impossible right now. It's like 70 of us in the day room, people coughing and sneezing, everybody touching the phones, and they don't even have bleach in here to clean the stuff. We don't have the right chemicals to keep the place clean. Then on top of that, the court systems, no one is going to court right now, so people are just sitting with petty crimes, just sitting in jail, and I don't tell them how long the corona pandemic is going to be going on to when people court date is being pushed back months, 5 or 6 months at a time or whatnot. Even the people who have trials don't have a chance, period, because they can't have all those people inside the courtroom on the jury trial. So they get all the way on the back burner, and then no one can make bond because the bond office is not open right now. And it's just a whole bunch of craziness going on. Everyone, we get locked down early because we can't come out after 9 o'clock or whatnot because people have to clean up, man. It's just crazy. Like, and even getting on the phone, talking to family, everybody, it's hard to get to a phone because, you know, everyone on the street is at home. So people are talking to their family for a long time. So it's hard to even get on the phone because they're all occupied.
Right.
It's real chaotic and they don't know what to do. Even with commissary, like this week, it's a big thing going on. Like, we don't think we'll receive commissary this coming up Tuesday because we don't know if the commissary people are going to be at work. They don't inform us on anything ahead. So it's just like we just go day by day with it. You know, they won't tell us what's going on. But they stop the visits. People can't see their loved ones, of course. You know, even though we don't have contact visits, we still can't see our loved ones. Because they afraid that the visitors might give it to a correctional officer, and a correctional officer might bring it in here. But the correctional officers leave every day, so it's still risky, man. Like, I don't know, man. Once the coronavirus reached the jail, we don't know how it would be. I think we're going to just be on a 24-hour lockdown. If they find one case, but the even more crazy is no one in the jail has been tested to see if they have the coronavirus. So it's probably here. And we just don't know.
And they just treat it like a regular flu or whatever. Or even if something was to happen, you know, it's no way for the outside public to even know about it. You know, so I just wanted to have that message out there because there's always a part of society that's forgotten about, you know, and especially right now that we are all on lockdown. You know, but the people that's already been in lockdown, it's easy for the system to lose them and to treat them any type of way. And if we go be a humane system and humane society, we have to make sure that it becomes a we system and not a me system where everybody just focuses on themselves. We have to focus on the collective and not just, you know, not just when we hear news about things, but we got to create our own news and create our own narratives.
Everyone got to work together during this, obviously, because, like I said, this is global. Every country, every continent has cases of the coronavirus. And once it reached the federal system. I heard that they had a case in the federal system. But I'm in a local county somewhere, and it's crazy in here, man. Like, you got to understand, like, people touching the pencil sharpener, the kiosk machine, everyone using the same washer and dryer. Like, it's crazy. Like, once you reach a head, man, I don't know what's going to happen. And they don't have the right medical assistance in here to treat all these people if it was to reach a head.
Yeah.
You know, and it's entirely impossible for them to have 10 people move at a time in here, or less than 10 people. You know, to be in the crowd in here is impossible.
No, you ain't no way you can practice social distancing inside a jail cell when there's somebody that's forced to be in there mandatory, you know.
With no cleaning supplies, because they would never give an inmate cleaning supplies. You know, we have cleaning supplies, but it's not nothing that's strong disinfectant to what, like, bleach or anything or ammonia or nothing like that. So, and I know that the coronavirus can live on a hard surface up to 3 days. And, you know, like I said, you can't control 100 people walking around touching everything all day, you know.
Right.
Next thing, I think everybody will be locked down, man. And once people go locked down, that's when inmates are going to start acting crazy, flooding their cells and stuff like this. So it's crazy. And I think it needs some light on folks. I don't even know what they can do to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, right now the entire medical industry, medical supply industry is overstretched right now. 75% of, like, pharmaceuticals and most of medical supply chains come from China and other countries. So right now they put $1 trillion towards it, but there needs to be money allocated towards even those jail systems. But the problem with that is, of course, the owners, especially private industries, private prisons, you know, they would line their pockets up rather than give the prisoners the supplies correctly. So, you know, I think that there just more so needs to be a system overall going into the future, just more transparency about what is happening in these jails. You understand me? And, you know, make sure that everybody's rights so continue to be intact, you know, at least those regular, normal human rights to a clean cell, to medical facilities, to make sure you're not being exposed to viruses and not just forced vaccinations and things of that nature.
So, it's so easy to contract to him because the people like who have traffic tickets, if they got TV court, everybody we have to be shackled up a chain to get to court, which means that someone can touch the chain, the handcuffs, and then you can catch it that way.
Right.
Everybody wear the same shackles and handcuffs.
Yeah, because they say so it could be on metallic surfaces for 9 hours. What's up, copper?
Yeah, I heard that it was up to 2 or 3 days on NPR.
Well, there's a lot of conflicting information being put out. So, you know, that, like I said, that's what makes it such a crazy case, because it's like, who knows what's true? Everything is like in speculation mode. There's no hard evidence to say, okay, this is exactly what happens. This is what happened. If you listen to any of the CDC doctors or these experts, they're going to say probably and maybe. They're not going to say what they know for sure, that is a fact. So we have to go off the guess hypothesis of these scientists and these doctors, which kind of leaves us in a space to where it's like, well, shit, we really don't know anything. So, you know,
it's not a question of, it's not even a question of if the coronavirus reached the jail. It's a matter of when it's going to reach the jail. Because if it's spreading the way that we see it on the news, it's coming in here for real songs.
Right. Nah, yeah. I mean, shit, I'm sure it's already there, like you said. It's just trying to, because if nobody's been tested,
the only thing they do is for the correctional officers, they check the temperature anytime a correctional officer leaves out the building or come in, they check the temperature. So if they have a high fever, but I heard that it's up to, sometimes people don't even have symptoms.
They can be asymptomatic, so where they're carriers, but they actually don't get sick. So this is some weird stuff going on, man. We're in the twilight zone right now, reality, man. You know, we got to kind of, you know, just soldier up, tighten down. Everybody got to be soldiers right now. You know what I mean? And, you know, Allah's the best of planners. It's not like you can... I wouldn't even spend so much time trying to figure it out unless your point of figuring it out is so that you can create a solution and galvanize your energies and efforts towards, you know, manifesting and making a change. Because sometimes we get lost into all our conspiracy theories with no action behind it. So for me, you know, I've been getting people to focus on, you know, your mental and financial health. You understand me? And getting together with other groups of people that have some know-how to where y'all can start navigating this crisis together. During the 2008 recession, we didn't have groups. We didn't have people that helped us through it. Everybody was kind of on their own. And that can't be the sentiment that moves forward. Right now, we have social media. We have thought leaders. We have people to help guide us through. And those are the people that, if they're giving you solutions, grip to those people and ride out this recession to where you can come out better on the opposite end than when you went into it. That should be everybody's goal. It's not to survive, but saying that, how can I find opportunities that exist within this moment to say that, damn, when I came out better than when I went in. So, you know, that's my focus.
I just don't want people to forget about, the ones who are incarcerated, because like I said, we're in a local holding facility where no one is convicted of a crime where I'm in. Everyone is going to trial, waiting court dates, you know what I'm saying, to see what they're doing. So basically, everybody's basically presumed innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
So, which means we are just sitting and we have no idea when our next court date is.
Right. That's a great point.
So, and they saying that this will go on for months. I even heard up to 18 months. So, man, this is crazy. Like, it's a scary feeling, man.
Yeah, I think that there should, you know, it's hard to just speculate on stuff because, you know, if anything, you know, a lot of people should be let out on their own recognizance until they get a court date that are low risk, you understand me, and being let out of these situations.
No one has talked to their lawyer since this happened.
Right.
The lawyers are not in office, so it's like just calling the phone and it's ringing. No one talked to nobody, and the correctional officers don't tell us anything. Like, the lieutenants or nobody tell us anything. All we get is a piece of paper on the wall saying business counsel. Call your family, tell you business counsel for the pandemic is on.
Well, you know, I'm going to put out this information and do my part, man. And, you know, you're a leader as well behind that wall, man. You one of those people that have that mindset that I'm sure others look forward to. You understand me? And that's why, you know, we have to understand that during these times, this is the challenge of our spirits. You understand me? And that's why you got to be grounded in something so that it can anchor you to where, regardless of how rough the seas get, then you can have stability. And so, you know, leadership is all about, You have to be calm. Not tell people to be calm, but you have to be calm yourself so other people take your example. And if we lead by example, then we're good.
I told everybody, this is time for everyone to use their greatest attribute, which is adaptability, because obviously this is an obstacle in the path that no one expected. So we have to adapt, and we have to create new habits in our brains. To you know what I'm saying, to deal with this pandemic because like I said, this is from everyone gonna have to come together to get through it. And maybe, you know, everything happened for a reason, so maybe we have to go through this to come up with a vaccine to where everyone works together so we can, you know, can kill off this virus and get back to normal life. Because it's like I said, everyone is hurting. It's not even just the poor family, the rich family, no one can work, too many money, everybody has kids.
Right. I mean, sure, that's all we can do. We do what we can do, and then the rest, we wait for more power to do something about that. You know, it's just incremental.
Yeah.
We can't do something about everything all at once, but we do what we can about the things we have power over. Yeah, so, like, It's everything is really going digital right now, if you really understand it, you understand me? And so I've been galvanizing and like really trying to get support from leadership to come together, because the one thing I don't see right now is unity. Whether you behind the walls or you in the streets or y'all having a digital connection, well, there should be more collaborative and unified efforts to fight, you know, together so that you can help more people. Sure, you can do whatever you want to alone. You can adapt the me versus the we mentality. But whatever you can do by yourself, you can never do as much as when you get help and when y'all work together. So, yeah, I don't even want unity with everybody. Only with those who are ready, those who get it, those who like-minded. I've deleted the utopian idea of unity because I've never seen it. And the word unity is so cheaply used in our communities. And it comes out of our tongue of leaders without any show for effort of saying that, okay, this is the project that we've worked together on. This is how I reached across the board to try to work with other leaders. You know, we get mad at Democrats and Republicans for not working together for a unified effort for the people. But then we got Muslims and Christians not working together, Hebrews and Israelites. So, but bruh, man, I love you, dog. I appreciate you, though, God. Thank you. I got you, man.
Wash your hands.
Shit, you know black people do that already. Man, Jack Heller, he outside like trees. He here now, man. We just came out. We was just walking around different businesses and stuff, though. But yeah, he over here. He's solid. The whole family's solid. Yeah, he with me. He been out here for about a month or two now. Yes, sir, man. Stay powerful, man. Stay godly. Black godly.
You know, I'm going to call you next week or something. Next Sunday or something.
All right, let's get it in. All right. Peace, God. Man, that's my good brother Steve from jail. If you are familiar with him, I did a few podcasts with him before while he's locked down behind the wall. We was waiting on some good information for him to get out, go to his court date and everything, but everything is being pressed back. If you have some loved ones, make sure you're checking on them that's locked up, you know, across the planet Earth. You know, that's a forgotten part of society. And he made a good point. A lot of the people that, all the people that he's in there with, they are waiting on trial. They're waiting on court. You understand me? So regardless of how you feel about inmates, for one, everybody in there that's not locked up, but they're still human beings. And they still deserve rights. So we can't have the me mentality. It has to be the we. You understand me? And so make sure we tap in and do our unified efforts. If there's any phone numbers that I can disseminate and give to the people to where you can call and check on loved ones and we can get something done, we'll do that. In the meantime, bring more awareness and bring more focus to those who are not in a good time. Do what you can at this time to make sure that you and your family are safe and make sure that you all are getting everything that you need as far as provisions, emergency kits, supplies, you know, and even radios. Make sure you're getting some radios, walkie-talkies, just in case, you know, cell phones, cut out, internet, whatever it may be, you want to still have forms of communication. I appreciate, I love y'all. Make sure you go to my 19 Keys Instagram, click the link in the bio, and join my key group, or we're going to be having the key classes, the financial pieces. We're going to be talking about e-commerce and much more. You shouldn't have to go through this crisis alone when we all know about it. You understand me? And we can work together. It's one thing, as I always say, one of my favorite quotes is, if you want to get something done, do it yourself. But if you want to do more, get you a team. Tap in.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.